Accession number 30650, Mr. Joe Hardy, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hardy?
I was born in Stepney, 1929, 27th of August.
And could you tell us something about, your family background, what your parents did for a living, what sort of a family you
My father was an ex-soldier, he fought in the First World War. He won the Distinguished Conduct Medal.
Now, what do you know about it? Because sometimes they talk about it, and sometimes it's... What do you know about it? Who did he serve with? What did he tell you about it?
He was with the Rifle Brigade and the King's Royal Rifles. And when he come out, there was trouble getting jobs and that and work before I was born. And... he married my mother and they went to India for 7 years with the army. He went back in the army because there wasn't much work around. Went back in the army and he took my mother out to India for 7 years with the army, where I had a brother born who died, and my sister who just died 3 or 4 years ago, she was born there too, in India.
And do you think the Great War, the First War, had affected him, either physically or mentally?
There was occasions I noticed he got upset on a couple of occasions and he seemed to lose it. Only on a couple of occasions it happened. He's very nice, a smashing man, sociable, rather quick-tempered, but I know... the effect I saw as a boy, where he'd lost it, and he was back on the front. It really was, you could see it, what had happened, and I was only a boy then. But he wasn't, not often like that.
And he wasn't wounded, he didn't have any physical after effects?
No.
And so what was he doing when he came back? So he came back from India, what, 26?
He came back, I couldn't tell you.
Just before you were born?
Before I was born, yeah.
And what was he doing when he went into civilian life?
He got a job on the strength of the Distinguished Conduct Medal. His sister-in-law, my aunt, wrote to Shell and got him a job as a messenger. And actually, when he went there, he said, "I can't do office work." And they said, and they told him, the manager who interviewed him said that. My direction, I must give you a job, I must give you. And it was on the strength of that Distinguished Conduct Medal.
Did he ever tell you what he got it for?
Oh. No. I've heard rumours. I really don't know the outcome. I've got a citation of it from a general. I know that when he came home, his school that he'd been to as a boy had half day's holiday for him, so he's quite a hero.
So what was life like growing up in Stepney as a kid?
I don't remember a lot about Stepney because when I was about how old, I don't know, 7 or 8, I caught pneumonia. And we'd already lost a young sister there from as a baby. She was only a baby, a few months old. And by that time, my father said he'd had enough of Stepney and the conditions. So while I was in hospital, I also contacted, as I was getting over pneumonia, I got diphtheria. And I was in the hospital about 13 weeks, I think, and my father then said he'd had enough of the East End, and they moved to Becontree.
So that was, you were about 7 when that happened?
7 or 8, yeah, I imagine.
And so what was that better in Becontree?
Oh, yeah, the conditions were much better, the living. I mean, then Becontree and Dagenham was country, wasn't it? Countryside then days. And I was coming out of hospital, I was going to go to convalescing, but when they found we moved there, they said, "No, it's all right, you're living in the country," so I didn't have to convalesce.
And so what was life like then? Give us an idea of what your childhood was like.
Becontree, yeah. That's where I first took an interest in football, started playing football for the school. And actually, that's where when the war broke out, when I lived in Becontree.
Tell us a bit about school then, before we got to the war. What was your, how did you do at school?
Average, I suppose. Average. Don't remember much about the infant school, but that was in Stepney. But in Becontree, I was in a junior school, and that was just across the road from me. The school was on the other side of the road, so I didn't have far to go for that. Not a lot about that school, not a lot at all. Played football, I say, Saturday mornings playing football. Oh, on one occasion, I remember one occasion, there's two teachers there. They made, they had in a museum around Dagenham somewhere, a museum, and they'd made models of ships right from the early days, galleons, right up to the Queen Mary, like all ships, and they had them displayed in this museum. And then they'd done aircraft when the Spitfire or Hurricane at that time, I think it was one of them, right up to there, right from the days where they had men with running along with aircraft, they made models right the way through, the pair of them. And they said that those, the first, second and third, I think, in the exams, they treated, they had a motorbike and sidecar. And he said, I'll take you down to the museum. And I happened to be one of them. I remember going in his sidecar down to the museum, three of us on this motorbike and sidecar. And we went down to this museum. I can't remember much more about Dawson's
Now,
Scott.
What about the effects of the war? So you'd be about, you'd be 10. Yeah, 10 when the war broke. I mean, I know you were young, but do you remember the old thing, the day war broke out?
Yes, I can. Well, I was playing on the stairs. I was playing on the stairs, actually, in, that was in Becontree. And it was morning, and my sister was round a friend. My sister was about 3 years older than me. And she come running in, banged on the door, and called out to my mum and dad that war had been... We didn't have the radio on, and she'd been round a friend, and she'd heard it round there, like, and then she'd come running home, worried, scared. And we run out, and we already had shelters put in there, and they'd put them in pre-war, like, you know. And everybody down the garden was down the, standing by the shelters, didn't know what to expect. Woman next door but one had her children in gas masks, because we already been... issued with gas masks and had the shelters light, and she had her children in gas masks. I thought she thought sort of duration of war.
Tell us, well, let's do the gas masks first. What happened when they were issued? What do you remember about the issue of gas masks and what they were like?
They come, first of all, didn't they, with the... They want the servicemen used to have a nozzle on them, but these were just a stub one. And we used to have to carry them. I remember when I went to school... When I moved from Becontree to Dagenham, we used to go to school across the main road. And the crossing, policeman on the crossing where we had to cross, if you didn't have your gas mask, he'd send you back home. You had to have it go, like, you know, you had it round your shoulders in a box.
Did you ever try it on? But
oh, in school, sometimes they'd give you a lesson with them. You had to have a lesson with them now and again.
What was it like wearing them?
Nah, not bad, not bad at all. Smell of rubber, yeah.
Now, what about the Anderson? That's an Anderson shelter in your back. Yeah. Who put it in and what do you remember of it?
I don't know. All I remember, the first one in Becontree, that was in before, must have been in before the war, because I know when war broke out, everybody ran out to their shelters. But
what were they like? Because there's not many left now.
Well, we didn't use that one, because when war broke out, you were expecting everything, but nothing happened. And shortly after war, we moved to Dagenham. And the shelter... I can't remember, they must have put them in. I can't remember who put them in, but my father built over it with all turf, and he put a front on it, like a, because they were open front. Well, he put a front so that you had to go in and round. I suppose that would stop anything coming through the opening. But when the
what was it like in there?
When the bombing first started, it was a regular thing. You'd come home from school, you'd have your tea, and then about 6 o'clock, I see, after 6 o'clock, you'd go automatically down the shelters, because regularly every night, every evening at a certain time, I can't tell you what time, early in the evening, the sirens would go, and you were down there, smell of paraffin, and people done things with them and everything. But at first you got a lot of water in them, then they come and concrete the bottom up a bit so that it stopped a lot of the water, but it's still very, very damp. I tell you what, when I think of... I brought two girls up. I've got grandchildren. I wouldn't have liked to bring children up in them days. It must have been terribly worrying. You're frightened if they get sniffles now, but you're taking them out in all sorts of weather. It must have been very hard to bring children up in them days.
And were there bunk beds in your shelter?
Yeah,
or
what I
bunk
can remember. What I can remember, yeah.
Now, you moved to Dagenham, so that was 39, was it? Or 40?
I don't know if it's 39 or 40. It was shortly after the war broke out. War broke out in September, wasn't it? It would have been early 40s, I imagine. I couldn't be sure.
Now, why did you move to Dagenham? Was that just your dad's work, or...?
No, it actually went... That's something else. When war broke out, on the Sunday, he'd already had orders from Shell that they were moving, they were evacuating, and he had to leave. to go on Sunday to go to the new offices, and he had Richmond, I think, Kingston. He had to go into lodgings there, and I can remember my mum having a row with him on day war broke out because he was leaving us. He was going off, but that was his orders in the event of war breaking out. He had to go to where his job was, like, you know, and he used to just come home on weekends then.
And that's where that was the case for.
Yeah, he was pretty much through the war. I can remember he was going away. Then over the week, he'd come home on weekends. He was working away like that. I mean, nowadays they drive there, wouldn't they? But in them days, it was Richmond or Kingston was a long way away, like, you know.
But you moved anyway to Dagenham. And why weren't you evacuated?
Nah. When war broke out again, having the school opposite to us, the coaches or charawangs, what you call them, came down, and children were going out with their labours on and packets to go out, and my mother had me and my brother. My sister's 3 years older, and my brother 3 years younger. And what was I, nine? So my sister must have been about 12. And my mother was going to send us, me and my brother. And my sister, at that age, said, no, we must all stick together. She told my mother, like, you know, we can't separate, we mustn't separate. And my mother took notice of her, and we stayed at home. But the school... We didn't go to school then. They closed the school because they were all evacuated. Then they opened it part-time. One week you went mornings, and the next week you went afternoons.
Did that interfere with your education?
I suppose it did eventually, but I suppose you caught up after. I don't think it was for long. I can't remember.
You didn't feel it sort of held you back in any way then?
No, at that age, probably not. Probably not.
Now, what about the food rationing? As a kid, did you notice much, or was it just sweets you noticed, you know?
No, I think there was noticeable that you didn't have much butter, but we didn't have butter them days anyway. It was margarine. little butter. My mother was very good, but she liked butter, and what little butter was, she seemed to claim, like, you know. But, no, I don't. It was tight on everything, like, you know, very tight. But there again, that's where I admire the people of them days, how they managed to get through.
What about clothes rationing? Or did you just get your...
No, yeah, it was tight and clothes. You couldn't... I remember going down, we had to go to Petticoat Lane. My mother wanted to get me an overcoat. We went to Petticoat Lane where she'd urge you to get coat with no points, like, you know. There was always the black market. Yeah, I went to Petticoat Lane to get an overcoat, and I think to get away with the point, you paid a bit more, I think, like, you know.
Were you aware of the black market?
Oh, yes.
Tell us a bit about it, because a lot of people say they don't know about it, but how did it work? I mean...
Well, things like that on the rationing, like, you know, there was always ways and means, I suppose, if you were in the know. I mean, as a boy, I didn't know much about that side of it. But I think there's always possibly ways of getting things. And when you think about all the short dinners, I think you go, if you had money, you go to the restaurants, you still get the food in the restaurants, like, you know, I suppose.
Now, so what about the bombing when it started? What was it like? I mean, because
that was a bit frightening, I think, as youngsters, because you were down the shelter early evening, and you didn't come up. Your father would go up, get up and go to work. When bombing first started, a lot of my family still lived in Stepney, and we were living in Dagenham then when the bombing first started, and I remember we had over 20 people come down to our house from Stepney, because the bombing was on the East End, like, you know, and we couldn't get down to shelter, it was full, like, but they didn't last long, and eventually, three houses together, some of my family stayed and took the houses next to us, so we had three houses together with family in from there, but then you'd stay down there, you'd hear them coming, you knew the sound of the bombers, you knew the sound there was a particular sound. Then you'd hear the guns open up, and they'd come round the front on lorries sometimes, and they were really loud, the guns and everything. Then when that went on for a while, but then when it started to lapse off a little bit, they decided, now we don't have to go down the shelter. I don't know how long we were going down the shelter. Quite a while, but then they decided, not my mum and dad decided, we, you know, it wasn't regular, but then you'd wake up and you'd hear the siren in the middle of the night, and then you'd wait a little while, and you'd hear the first guns, you'd hear mum and dad call you, and then you were up and out, freezing cold down the garden, going down the shelter. And by that time, the guns were going like, and the flashes and everything, like, you know, to get down the shelter.
Was there any, was there much bombing land near you in Dagenham?
We had a couple of hours. The one in Becontree, we'd moved from, that got a direct hit. That was 2 houses together. And I think a couple of people I heard were killed next door. Where I lived, there was a 2 or 3 houses round the corner from us. They got hit near right on the school sports field. But that was our playground then, after that.
Well, did you play on bomb sites? There's this picture of kids playing on bomb sites. Was it true?
Actually, this one round there, we, as youngsters, like, we gone round it. When it got bombed, after it got, they put a static water tank in front, in the front gardens. That's the AFS then, the fire service. And we got all the tiles all around, went up, climbed up on the roof, and we covered what roof we could. And the fire watchers decided that the room down below on the corner house was good enough to use. So they boarded it up, cleaned it out, and we used to go in and light a fire for them, sweep it out and light a fire for them in the evening. Like the fire watchers had that as their place for the night, like, you know.
So what would you play on bomb sites?
We've had done theatre in the room. The girls decided to put a show on. And we thought we'd do the same. We didn't have a clue, though. Tried to do a song and dance act, and didn't have a clue. Paid a penny, I think, at the time for it, like, no, but didn't have a clue. The girls done well. But you spent lots of time in a bomb shelter. And I remember a time, like, on a car, I didn't do it often. The company would spend the afternoon in there when you should have been in school. And I remember a boy at school, his mother took him up, couldn't go to school, and the headmaster, who I think was a good headmaster, but must have been a bully, because he gave the boy such a thrashing on the backside. I was terrified, me along with a lot of others, I think, thinking, hope he doesn't find out I had them after this, because it was terrifying to watch him, like, you know. But we spent lots of time in that bombed house, yeah.
And did you collect souvenirs, you know?
Shrapnel, yeah. Going to school in the morning, picking up bits of shell and shrapnel, like, oh, yeah. Yeah, loads of it.
Just for
showing it. I had tins and tins of it. Well, it must have been in the loft when we moved, I think. I don't know. I had tins of it. If you get a bit with numbers and that on, like, that was good, yeah.
Anything else about, you know, the effects of the war on you as you're growing up in London? Well, not London, is it then? It's Dagenham.
London, and it'll, you see London burning. At one time, you see the glow over there, like over the back. There's one time where we were in the shelter, and the ARP come and put their heads in the shelter, calling out, you've got to get out, there's a time bomb dropped. My aunt went a bit berserk. She thought they were Germans putting their heads in the shelter. That she really thought, like, you know. But we got out. And we had to go along to the Civic Centre, which was quite a way away. And it was a raid on that, a lot of shelling. We had my old grandmother, who was living with us at the time. And we spent the night down on a place called Nanny Oaks Common in Dagenham. They had shelters there, underground shelters. And in the morning, we had to go along to a school for tea for the morning. Then we went back. They said, go back and get any possessions you've got. They wouldn't let you down the road, just one or two in to go into the houses, bring out any possessions you wanted. They found out after it was somebody had dug a hole and put a bit of chicken wire down there or something, and it was nothing at all.
So it wasn't a delayed action bomb. No.
Then another time during the day, when we were having day raids, there was a aircraft coming out. It was terrific to watch our aircraft go in on them, like, you know, people were standing there, it was like a show, cheering the aircraft as they were going in onto the Germans. Then suddenly there was 2 or 3 parachutes to come out. One aircraft, my father went running over the back because it looked like it was landing in the back. And he's gone running over there, but I think it crashed in Hainault. They used to have a big piece of the plane up on a place there on the fence, and nowhere near us. But there was 3 or 4 parachutes, and one was coming down. By that time, the Home Guard, my father was sergeant in the Home Guard, and a lot of youngsters in it. who before call up, like, and they all had, because my father used to bring his rifle and that armour, Sten gun he had, and they had ammunition, and they were in the back, at the back of our houses was fields, and we had alley. They were around the back shooting up at this airman, at this parachute, one that's coming near. And my father ran, and me and a mate who was in the garden ran with him, ran along the road towards the Merry Fiddlers in Dagenham. And there was people off the allotments at the back of us running with spades, shovels and everything after the airman. And the police were trying to get there first, because what traffic there was holding that, they were holding a crowd getting to this bloke. They were running along with forks. And the Home Guard had been shooting at him. He turned out to be a Polish from Hornchurch. And we had a collection for him on the corner grocers. And he sent a letter saying, thank God there wasn't better shots, because he got away with it. Yeah, that was something. Yeah.
Any other stories like that? That's a really good story.
No, I suppose things happen all the time. I can remember in school when the raids went in the daylight, you'd have to go along to the shelter, and when got in the shelter and somebody set a stink bomb off, you'd get out again. Things like that.
Did you follow the progress of the war? You know, like sort of maps and all. Did you have any relatives in it that made you sort of?
I lost a cousin. He was in the Navy. He got killed. My mate's brother lived opposite. His brother was killed. I used to go in Dagenham when I was a youngster, by then in my early teens, sit in a cafe, and I'd go into a back room there, and you'd sit there, all of a sudden there'd be a call, there'd be a scramble of half a dozen blokes, because the police would come in and check identity cards, and they were the call up dodgers. They'd be seen and they'd be off like a shirt light, you know.
Well, there are a lot of them. You don't hear much about.
I knew there was a few there, because they, as I say, them sitting in the cafe, they used to do a runner, like, you know. But I don't know how many there were of them. I don't know. I was too young then. I was early teens. in a way, when you were young like that, you started to think, oh, blow me, it's going to be over before I get a chance to go in it. Like, you know, that was your feelings then, I think. You don't realise that war isn't something that's glorious, like, you know.
So what about towards the end of the war? V1s, V2s, any?
Oh, yeah.
Don't know whether any hit, though.
No, the rocket, what was that, the V2, wasn't it?
V2's a rocket,
I see one. It looked like a shooting star, they were. But you go, when that first night they started coming over, you could hear them once again.
I think that's V1, because the V2 is faster
than
the
shooting star, wasn't it?
I don't think you can even see it. It's very fast.
Yeah, one I remember seeing was like a like you see a shooting star going across. I actually, you know, I'm sure that was what that was. But the V1, like the aircraft, yeah, that you see them going up, and then you see them stop. But when they first come overnight, that night, you could hear them. They had a special sound again. You knew what they were. And then they stopped. Then there was an explosion. And even as a boy, I thought myself, oh, they've got to be something that's, you know, when the engine stops, they're crashing, like, it seems so obvious, even listening to them, and that's what it turned out, like, yeah, you see them going along, you see the flame coming out behind them, like, you know, yeah, I've never heard anything.
But no, none landed near you, sort of?
No, not that I can remember, no.
So what about any parties at the end of the war, V-Day parties?
Oh, yeah.
Was it street parties, what kind of party?
The street, on the night that actually the first news come through, it was in the evening. My mother, by that time working at Mount Baker, she was on shift work, and she was working 2 to 10. And my father was indoors asleep, waiting till my mother got home. And news started coming through about the war over, and I come running in, call my father, wake my father, and saying that war's over, like, you know. And I don't know if it's that night, I think it was the next day, we had our piano in the road, took the piano out, like, you know.
What, your one?
Yeah. They were pulling up fences, Because we had, at the front garden, we had chains. They'd taken them at the beginning of the war, the chains for the war effort, like, you know, because they were metal. But at the end, there was one particular case I do remember. At the bottom of the road, they had fences, and a load of youngsters gone across, pulling the fence out, putting the fire, and they had the dog tied to it. They're running along with the dog, running on its lead with the fence. But obviously, they took it. That was another one, yeah. My father went and run back because he didn't want his fence going. Like, they were putting up fences, putting the fire. And then on the, when they celebrated in London, I went to London with a mate, and that was absolutely packed. And they were all this, any servicemen, they were mobbing, like, you know. And there was a bus stop there, and three or four fellas climbed on top of the bus stop, and they, crowds, hordes were pushing it, and it was going across, and they were up there all cheering. I don't know if they'd had a few beers. And then back, then the crowd started rocking it, and of course one come off and got on his head. Then they've got to try, I don't know what happened to him. All I know, they were trying to get an ambulance through to him in the end, like, that was from rocking the bus stop he was on. But that was really something. They were, people were going absolutely crazy.
What was it like for you? I mean, were you going crazy, or
No, what was I? Well, I was 15, 16, I suppose. One night, it was something to know all the lights were going on, you know, no fears of anything happening anymore. Like, you know, yeah, it was quite something. But I think it probably meant more to the older people who realised just what had happened, like, you know, more than what I did.
So what happened after that then? You know, so the war's finished. You're still at school.
No, I started work.
Nah, right. So when did
14.
You start work? 14.
14.
You left school at 14. So you left school in 43.
Yeah.
And what what work were you doing?
I went worked in Reynolds Checkers. That was a Ford dealer. I was going to serve an apprenticeship there as a mechanic. But after a year, I got a bit browned off with it because the money was so. I was earning doing 5.5 days a week. I was getting £1 a week for that. I used to have £1 in my pay packet, and I'd have 5 shillings. Mother had the 15.
So this was a car dealer, isn't it?
Yeah, they're Ford now, Ford main dealer, I think, what they call them now, Ford, but what it was called Reynolds. And
so you were doing the maintenance of the car. Did you enjoy the work? I mean, did you like being an apprentice mechanic, or was it?
Yeah, well, I wasn't actually signed the apprentice. You had to do a period of time before you did, and before I'd done that, after a year, my mates were going on to war damage and earning two, three times as much as I was, and I was getting a bit jealous of them, like, you know. So I decided to do the same. I